بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن مغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب قول الله وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وبه قال حدثنا طلق بن غنام قال حدثنا زائدة عن حسين سالم قال حدثني جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه وأنهم أجمعين قال بينما نحن نصلي مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ أقبلت من الشام عير تحمل طعاما فالتفتوا إليها حتى ما بقي مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا 12 رجلا فنزلت وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها. This is the sixth Tarjumatul Bab of Kitabul Buyu, Book of Islamic Finance, Business and Economics of Bukhari Sharif. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh commences with the 11th verse of Suratul Jumu'ah. Suratul Jumu'ah is in the 28th juz of the Quran Kareem. The background of the revelation of the verse is, in the beginning stages when Salatul Jumu'ah was compulsory, or became compulsory, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform the salat first, thereafter the khutbah used to be delivered. Nowadays, we give the khutbah first and then the salat. But in the beginning stages where Salatul Jummah became compulsory, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform the salah, and thereafter it was the khutbah. Once there was a severe drought in Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Salatul Jumu'ah, was delivering the khutbah. There was a caravan of basic essentials and needs that came from Sham into Madinatul Munawwara. Now understand the context. There was a severe drought. Everybody was in need of basic foodstuffs. And there was a limited supply of goods. The Sahaba were sitting and listening to the khutbah. They felt that if they're not going to go and secure goods for themselves, they'll be putting themselves into difficulty and hardships. So they went out of the masjid to secure some goods for themselves. What the Sahaba did was purely according to human nature. There was a severe drought. They were in need of basic foodstuffs. They went to secure goods for themselves. But Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala considered the very high lofty maqam and position of the Sahaba. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala rebuked the Sahaba for this attitude of theirs. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَةً When They have seen trade or entertainment in faddu ilayha. They have dispersed towards that. And then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, indicate that that is something they should not have done. The purpose of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi in this Tarjumatul Bab is to convey a lesson that if it is permissible for a person to do tijarat and trade, business and economics, this is something that's mentioned in the Quran Kareem. In Suratul Jum'ah, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to trade and economics as Fadlullah, seeking the grace of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But at the same time, your dealing in trade, business, economics should not become an obstacle, should not become an impediment for you to fulfill your religious obligations and your religious responsibilities. Before we proceed with the hadith, let us consider one contemporary issue. Last week we discussed the concept of murabaha. We discussed murabaha is derived from the root word ribhun. Ribhun means a profit. Where a person would purchase an item, refer to the cost and sell it at a profit. If the person does not refer to a cost and sell the item, that is not murabaha, that is musawama. We discussed that if a person happened to become an agent of somebody in dealing in murabaha, what are the various steps that a person should consider? And if a person does not consider those steps, then there's a very fine line between a profit and between interest. I also mentioned last week that murabaha is not a mode of financing. It is a purely purchase and sale agreement that takes place between two persons. A person purchases the item, refers to a cost and sells the item at profit. But it's not a mode of financing. It is used as a mode of financing out of need and necessity. The original mode of financing in Shariat is mudaraba and musharaka. Now, if a person has money, for example, he's got 100,000 rand, and he's looking for a mode, a Sharia-compliant mode of making some investment. The money is just sitting, and he wants to earn some profit, earn some money from that 100,000 rand. How can he go about with that? And what is the Sharia-compliant procedure in doing that? We will revert to this question towards the ending. The hadith that we are about to narrate is narrated by Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once again, very, very great, illustrious, amazing sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the books of hadith, we understand that there were 5 Jabir ibn Abdullahs at the time of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 5 sahabas named Jabir, their father's name was also Abdullah. The narrator of this hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah, is an Ansari. And he's known to be among the Muksirina hadith. Muksirina hadith are those sahaba who are known to narrate many, many ahadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were some sahaba who used to be very, very cautious. They knew hadiths, but they would narrate very few hadiths. There were some who would narrate more, there were some that would narrate lots of hadiths. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala was among those sahaba that narrated many ahadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in that delegation from Madinatul Munawwara that met Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the valley of Mina that is called the Bay'atul Aqaba. There were 3 delegations that came from Madinatul Munawwara, met Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkatul Mukarrama. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited them to Islam. They accepted Islam the following year, more came, the following year more came. And the 3rd time when the delegation met, they gave a very strong invitation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to Madinatul Munawwara. And in the delegation was Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu took part in many wars. From 21 jihads of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala took part in at least 19 of them. He took part in the Battle of Uhud. His father's name was Abdullah. So, in the night of Uhud, the following day when the war was supposed to take place, so Jabir radiallahu ta'ala's father Abdullah came up to him, told him, that, oh my son, I think that tomorrow I will become shaheed. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala inspired him that this is what is going to happen with him tomorrow. So he told his son, you are my only son. You know how close, how beloved you are to me. I want you to do two things. First and foremost, take care of your sisters. Abdullah Jabir's father had 9 daughters. 6 were married, or 3 were married, 6 were unmarried. So he told his son, take care of your sisters. And second, he told him that, I've got some debts, make sure you fulfill my debts and you fulfill the right of the creditors. When the Battle of Uhud took place, Abdullah became shaheed. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala being the son, he was very, very sad and he was in a state of grief. So in the books of hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is recorded, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and told him, Ya Jabir, Mali araka munkasira. Then, oh Jabir, why do I see you a broken person in a state of grief and depression? So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, ustushida abi wa taraka ayalan wa deynan. My father became shaheed and he left family, that is, he left his daughters and he left lots of debt. So one is the grief of the death of my father, one is the debt he has left, and one is to take care of his children. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings to Jabir and told him, أَفَنَا أُبَشِّرُكَ بِمَا لَقِيَ اللَّهُ أَبَاكَ. Should I not give you the glad tidings of what Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told to your father? So Jabir told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, why not Ya Rasulallah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Jabir, مَا كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا قَطُّ إِلَّا مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ وَكَلَّمَ أَبَاكَ كِفَاحًا. Oh Jabir, what are you grieving for? Whenever anybody passes away, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala talks to a person through a veil. But in the case of your father, Allah spoke to your father without a veil. And then, Abdullah told to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Almighty Allah tabarak told to Abdullah, Ya Abdi, tamanna alay u'tik. Desire, wish, what you want, I'll give it to you. So Abdullah's one wish and desire was, Ya Rabbi, tuhyini fa'uqtalu fika thaniyan. I passed away in your path, give me life again. It is so enjoyable to pass away in your path, I wish I could get life again to become shaheed again in your path. So that's when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told him, innahu sabaqa minni annahum ilayha la yarji'un. That the person, once he has passed away, he will not return to this world. But then he requested, he made dua to Allah, Ya Rab, فَأَبْلِغْ مَا وَرَائِي. Oh Allah, convey a message to the people that are left behind me, that is, my colleagues, the Sahaba, and tell all of them about my condition. That's when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Wherein, if a person happened to pass away in a part of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he's not dead, he's actually alive, and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala provides sustenance for that person. Then, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala's concern was to pay the debt out. How is he going to pay the debt out? So he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you talk to the creditors that they should wipe out the debt or to give him the grace and respite? That the creditors were Jews, they wouldn't give grace and respite to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told to Jabir, go to the orchard and فَصَنِّفْ تَمَرَكَ أَصْنَافًا. Put all the dates in different heaps. الْعَجْوَى عَلَى حِدَةٍ وَعِسْقَ زَيْدْ عَلَى حِدَةٍ. Ajwa dates, put them on one heap. Isqa Zayd is a type of a date, put it in another heap. So Marsil Ilay, then call for me. Javir radiallahu ta'ala say he have done that. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat around that heap. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. The dates wasn't enough to pay the creditors out. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Javir, kill lil qawm. Wait and pay the creditors out. Pay them out. So Jabir says, فَكِلْتُمْ حَتَّى أَوْفَيْتُمْ أَلَّذِي لَهُمْ وَبَقِيَ تَمَرِيكَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَنْقُسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. He says that I paid all the creditors out. Whatever date was due to the people, I paid everybody out. And after paying everybody out, it was as though not a single date was decreased and all the dates remained. There was so much of barakah in that. That was, he executed the responsibility of paying the debt of his father. And as far as taking care of his sisters, in one hadith it comes, he was in one journey, Nabi Kareem saw him rushing. Oh Jabir, where are you going? So Prophet of Allah, he married. Allah the Rasul didn't even know that Jabir was married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who you get married to? Bikran am Sayyiban? Did you get married to a girl that was previously unmarried? Or did you get married to somebody who was previously married? He said, oh, Prophet of Allah, I got married to Sayyiba, a woman that was previously married. Nabi Kareem Sallam told him, why didn't you get married to a girl that was not previously married, that she would play with you, you would play with her? So he said, oh, Prophet of Allah, I made this choice for the benefit of my sisters. I didn't want to get married to a young girl that would be equivalent to my sisters. I wanted to get married to somebody senior to be able to take care of my sisters. Subhanallah. What a great qurbani and what a great sacrifice this is. Sometimes, as a son, as a family member, you have to make sacrifices for family morals, for family benefits. So this was Jabir radiallahu ta'ala's experiences, and it was always my wish, my desire, to compile some ahadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, because there were many financial dealings between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before he had passed away, in Masjid al-Nabawi, he used to have the dars of hadith. قَانَتْ لَهُ حَلَقَ يُخَذُ أَنْهُ الْعِلْمِ. There was a halaqa, majlis of ilm in Masjid al-Nabawi, and people used to take hadiths from him. He passed away at the age of 94, and he was the last sahabi among the sahaba of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina Munawwara to have passed away. Now before we proceed with the hadiths, I just want to share with you from the many financial related hadiths of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just four hadiths of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In one hadith it is mentioned, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يُصَلِّ عَلَى رَجْلٍ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ. If a person would have passed away and he had a debt upon him and the person did not make the necessary requirement to pay his debt out, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not perform Salatul Janada on that person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask, هل عليه دينٌ؟ قالوا نعم. Yes, he have left the deen. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Salatul Janada. And if that sahabi, being a sahabi, companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a high lofty maqam and position he had. If a sahabi did not make arrangement for his debt to be paid out to the creditors, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to the sahaba, Sallu ala sahibikum. You perform Salatul Janaza on him, I will not perform Salatul Janaza. Then it is stated that at a later stage, فَلَمَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ قَالْ أَنَا أَوْلَىٰ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ مِّن نَفْسِهِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَ دَيْنًا فَعَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَرَكَ مَالًا فَلِوَرَثَتِهِ. Later on in life, when Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gave lots of wealth to the Sahaba, to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am more closer to every believer. If anybody have died, passed away, and they have left a debt, and he hasn't got the financial means and ability to pay the debt out, I will pay the debt out on his behalf. Another hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كانت له أرض فليزرعها فإن لم يستطيع أو عجز عنها فليمنحها أخاه ولا يؤاجرها. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned, if a person got a piece of land
land for agriculture. Then he should cultivate that land. Don't leave the land just like that, because Islam strongly encourages development. And to do farming, do agriculture, don't leave the land just like that. And if you are unable to do farming, you can't develop the land because you probably don't have the skills of agriculture, you do have the land, then فَلْيَمْنَحْهَا أَخَاهُ. Give that land to your brother so that he may cultivate the land. Don't leave the land just like that. And do not hire that land. Now it doesn't mean that the hiring the land to somebody is prohibited. Nabi said meant that consider developing and consider empowering the next person as well.
Third hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يبيع حاضر لباد دع الناس يرزق الله بعدهم من بعد.
In the past, what used to happen, the people from the rural areas, where they used to sell something, so they used to, somebody from the urban area used to come and help, or sometime a person from the urban area used to help a person from the rural area. So in that way, the person got support, and he would maintain his prices. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that is against the interest of the consumer. And Shariat always considers the interest of the consumer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned, do not adopt those kind of tactics where you would act, you would do anything that is against the interest of the consumer. Leave the people as they are. Competition is something that encouraged. Shariat always encourages the natural market, not the superficial market. Today when we look at the economies, most of the economy, most of it is superficial and it is manipulated. And Shariat strongly discourages that. And that the last hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, أَيُّكُمْ كَانَتْ لَهُ أَرْضٌ وَنَقْلٌ فَلَا يَبِعْهَا حَتَّى يَعْرِضَهَا عَلَى شَرِيكِهِ. The meaning of the hadith is, if somebody has a house and he wishes to sell the house, he must first offer the neighbor to purchase the house. And in terms of South African law, you would call it the preemptive right. That means if you wish to sell, if you got a house, it is worth 2 million rand. Now, before you sell it, to offer it to someone else, you first need to offer it to your neighbor. If your neighbor accepts it at that price, then your neighbor is entitled to purchase the house. And if your neighbor does not want it, or he cannot pay that price for it, now you can go and sell it to somebody else. If you sold it to a third person on that price, and your neighbor was interested, you didn't offer your neighbor, and there are certain conditions that are supposed to fulfill. If he fulfills that condition, then he can take the matter up to the Islamic court and secure that house for himself. The hadith that we are doing from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, بينما نحن نصلي مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, whilst we're performing salat with Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم, suddenly a caravan came from Sham. It was carrying goods. It was carrying foodstuffs. So the Sahaba that were listening to the khutbah, they paid attention towards the caravan until only 12 Sahaba remained with Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم in masjid listening to the khutbah. That's when Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala revealed this verse, وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا, that when they have seen tijarat, trade or entertainment, they dispersed and they went towards that. Now this takes us to another important topic. And that is, where do we draw the line in terms of worldly engagements and executing our religious responsibilities? On one side, we have to perform our salah, we have other religious engagements, and on the other side, we also have to deal in business and in trade. Now the love for this dunya is natural. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala put the love of the dunya in the heart. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has purified the love of desires in our hearts. Then Allah enumerates three things: woman, children, and accumulated wealth. And in accumulated wealth, amazingly, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala enumerates five things. And these are the five most potent means of investments: gold, silver, marked horses, game, and farming. In fact, game is a major form of investment. We just heard the other day, one buffalo, the biggest buffalo in the world, is 100 and 60 million rands, or 160 million rands, the biggest buffalo of the world. And as South African owns 25% of it, which is about 40 million rands. It's a very, very expensive industry. Anyway, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala enumerates these five modes of investment. They are potent modes of investment. And first in it is Allah mentions gold and silver. Gold and silver are a mode of investment is unparalleled, unmatched, and it's the most sustainable form of investment. All other forms of investment, there will be some kind of fluctuation. If there is fluctuations in gold and silver, that is because of manipulations in the market, and that is because of political reasons and so forth. But in terms of nature, Almighty Allah Tabarak has created great value in gold and in silver. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has put the love of these worldly things into our hearts. In fact, there's one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bahrain was conquered. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala to Bahrain to bring the jizya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed the non-Muslims to remain there and told him to pay the jizya. Jizya is non-Muslims remain in the land and they have to pay a particular tax for their own safety, for their own security. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah to bring the jizya. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah brought lots of jizya. Put it in a masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu came for Salatul Fajr. After Salatul Fajr, Nabi Kareem sallallahu looked at the Sahaba. Masjid was packed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you must have heard that the jizya, the goods have come from Bahrain. They mentioned, yes. Nabi Kareem mentioned, Abshiru. Wa amillu ma yasurrukum Allah. Be happy that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given you something, a means of happiness. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned for Allah, Lal faqr akhsha alaykum. I don't fear poverty upon you. I fear that this dunya, the beauty of this dunya, the wealth of this dunya, this materialistic world will be opened up so much, like how this world have destroyed the people in the past, likewise this world and the glamours of this world will also destroy you. Same Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, his incident. He was in Sham, he was governor. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he came to Sham, he asked Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, Sham was known to be a very highly developed place at that time. So he told to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, let me see where you stay. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah told him right from the outset, Umar, you're going to come to my house, you're not going to find anything. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala had a habit of inspecting his governors to see what they are doing, how they are staying, so that he could make the islah, and if he need to rebuke them and correct them, he would do so. Umar radiallahu ta'ala insisted to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, no, I want to see your house. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah walked with him through the markets of Sham, saw pomp and glory and everything, carried on walking and walking and walking. Umar asked him, where are you staying? He says, a little bit more. Come right to the end of one town. He went into one hut. Open hut, there wasn't anything inside the house. Only thing that was in the house was one musalla. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah was a great sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is known to be the trustee of this ummah. Aminu hadhil ummah. And living in the center of Sham, being the governor of Sham, he could have all the luxuries and comfort that he want. But he was living in a hut and there was just one musalla. Then Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what do you have? Where's your bed? He said, there's my bed, my musalla. I sleep there. What about your food? I don't see anything in your house. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah put his hand on the top on a niche and took out a container. In that container there was some water and there was some wet bread in it. And he mentioned to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that there's a woman, she makes some roti for me once or twice a week. And I eat the roti up and the remaining roti bread, I put it inside this water for it to get wet. And whenever I need to eat for the remaining days, I would eat that. This is how they lived. In the center of this world, they didn't let the world come into them. And that is why Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba in the Quran Kareem. And it's a great lesson for us. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. Sahaba, they were in trade and business. But while they were there in the business places, their hearts and minds were toward Allah and the Rasul and the Day of Qiyamah. They fear what's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah. That is why when the azan used to be called out, they would leave everything immediately and proceed. The dunya did not become an obstacle for them. They immediately, they knew where to draw the line between their worldly commitments and religious obligations. And that is why Mianji Noor Muhammad Rahmatullahi, he used to say that Bar raha hai dil mein hubbe jaho maal kab samawe isme hubbe julzul jalal. We want the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to come into our hearts. How can the love of Allah tabarak come into our hearts when our hearts are filled up with the love of this dunya? And I've also noticed, it's, you know, dealing with this commercial mediation and arbitration, if a person got his priorities right, and he knows that what is my religious obligation, I need to resolve this dispute, then it becomes very easy. The amount can be huge. But if the person has the priorities right, then it becomes very easy to resolve a commercial dispute. And one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَنَا زَعِيمُ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَدِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَى وَإِنْ كَانَ حَقًّا. That I give responsibility of that person who got a commercial dispute with someone, and he resolves that dispute. It's a commercial dispute. Doesn't take the matter to court, losing thousands and thousands of rand and paying the lawyers and advocates and things, and just sometimes just to show our pride and just to show our ego. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, you got a commercial dispute with someone, you don't have excessive love for this dunya, your priority is the akhirat, then you will resolve the dispute. And if a person does it, he's still on haq, but just to get over with the dispute, I guarantee the person a palace right in the center of Jannah. So Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us hidayah to put our priorities right and to make sure where we draw our line in terms of worldly commitments and our religious obligation. And amazing, here, although 9 verse 11, Allah Ta'ala speaks about rebuking the Sahaba for leaving the masjid, but at the same time, look in the beginning in verse 9, where Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha nudiya lissalati min yawmil jum'ah fasa'au ila dhikrillah wa dharul bay. You're doing trade and business? When the azan goes for Jummah, you leave it immediately and you proceed for Jummah. That is the attitude, that is the conduct we should try to adopt in ourselves. Once again, let us just proceed with another hadith, very short and brief hadith. The 7th Tarjumatul Bab of Bukhari Sharif, Babu Ballam Yubali Min Haythu Kasab Al Mal. This Tarjumatul Bab is about that person who does not care how he earns his money. The hadith, وَبِي قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا آدَمُ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا إِبْنُ أَبِي ذِيبِ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا سَعِيدُ الْمَقْبُورِيَ نَبِي هُرَيْرَى أَنِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يَأْتِيَ لَلنَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala said, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a time will come upon people that a person will not even care from where he would obtain his wealth. How he would earn his money, whether it is from halal or whether it is haram. A person's concentration will only be to enrich himself. He is rich, wealthy, self-centered, only worried about accumulating his wealth. How he earns the wealth, that is not going to be his focus. He just wants to enrich himself and become more and more richer and wealthier. And when you adopt that attitude, now you're not going to care whether it's halal, whether haram, sharia compliant, not sharia compliant. Now you're just going to worry about enriching yourself. And remember that if any money, if a person earned the haram way, you earn money the haram way, it's going to go away in the same way as you have earned it. And just by way of moral, by the example, one person used to sell milk and he used to add water inside that milk. But in some places, they don't add water in the milk, they actually add the milk inside the water. So this person, he used to keep on making lots of money like this, adding the water in the milk and selling. So one day, he collected all his money and he was going home. On the way, a monkey got hold of the bag of money. Went on top of a tree. The monkey had a habit of playing fools as well. So monkey opened that bag and see how Allah made it. One coin, the monkey was playing with him now. One coin the monkey gave him and the other coin was going in the nearby dam. One coin to him, one coin to a nearby dam. One coin to him, one coin to a nearby dam. how much money, how he filled up 50% of water from the dam, that amount of money went away there. What we earn the haram way will go away the haram way. Anyway, reverting to our query that we asked in the beginning. If I got 100,000 rand and I want to invest my money, the mode of, the Sharia compliant mode to adopt in this would be the mudaraba mode. Mudaraba means one person provides the finances. He is the financier, he provides the capital. And another person who he provides the labor, there is no capital injection from his side. Once again, I got 100,000 rands. I want to invest this money. I don't have time, or maybe I don't have the skills of investment. I give you the 100,000 rand and I tell you to turn this money, make some profit in that. So capital comes from one person, labor comes from another person. The person providing the labor doesn't provide capital. His work is to administer the business. And the person that provides the capital, he cannot administer the business. Now, the money that is given to the person to do the business, it could be either an open mandate or it could either be a closed mandate. Open mandate, take this money and invest it wherever you want to. Whether it's in fabric, in the IT, in the supermarket, whatever. I'm just interested in making a profit. And they come to an agreement, whatever profit we'll make, we'll share it 50-50 on that. Or either it could be a closed mandate. Closed mandate would mean that I give it 100,000, invest it only in IT, or invest it only in fabric. So it's a closed mandate, and the person that's providing the labor, he is bound by that mandate. He can't go beyond that jurisdiction. He can't go beyond that particular mandate. Now, when he does this work, now, if there is a profit in it, then the profit will be shared between both the parties 50-50. All the expenses in a mudaraba, that will be for the account of the financier. That is why in a mudaraba, when you share the profit are not shared at gross, the profit are shared at net. Expenses are first taken out, and then whatever profits are taken out, they are then shared between both the parties. So if there is any loss, the losses will be first taken out from the profit, and if the profits are not sufficient to consume the loss, then the capital injection will then consume the loss. And the person that provided the labor, he will get nothing out of it, because the profit he will get will be because of his labor. So if there was a profit, he will get. If there's no profit, then it will be his loss of labor in that. One practical example. I've got 100,000 rands. I give it to you and I tell you, purchase a motor vehicle. And you may sell it. The profit will share between both of us. You purchase a motor vehicle and for 100,000 rand and you sold it for 120,000 rands. That 20,000 rand, that profit that is there, it will now be shared between both of us. If there's any expenses, it will first be taken out. And if there was no expenses, then in that case, straightforward, it will be 10,000 rand profit on both sides. 100,000 rand capital will go back to the financier. Sometimes people in the mudaraba, especially like buy motor vehicles or financing houses and so forth, they do many projects at one time. I strongly advise against that, because you have to carry finances of one project over another one and then complicate the issue. I always advise the people that do one project at a time, one car at a time, complete the deal and then do another mudaraba with another car. In a car financing, in housing projects, do one project, one house, finance one house, you finish with that, then you have a separate, then you enter into another contract for another house. Don't do two or three houses at one time, that complicates the issue. And lastly, recently on the housing project, we received a question on a mudaraba project, on a house financing project. The person that provided the capital to the person that was providing the labor, he asked the person providing the labor, can you give me surety? Now, if you're going to give a surety, where's the risk for the person providing their capital? Because the person that's getting the profit, he's getting a profit because he bared the risk. And it comes in the hadith, Nabi Kareem Sassam reported to mention, Al-Hurmu Bil-Hunmi. That you would, that the profit you get is in exchange of the risk that you have bared. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to understand all these masail and to implement them in our lives. This is also a great form of ibadat. Last week some people asked questions, inshallah we will answer it next week. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdi, nashadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.